That's sarcasm, I hope. What a difference a day can make. Today is April 15th, and what a difference today can make for some people. Blessings and cursings in a day. One day can be a blessing and one day can be a cursing. For some people, tax day is a great day. I'm getting some money back. For other people, they're thinking, how long can I put this off? Tax day, April 15th, blessings and cursings. How about this? December 1st, 1955. What a difference one day can make. A lady gets on a bus down south, and what a difference a day made when Rosa Parks decided she wasn't going to sit in the back of the bus. How could she ever know that she would begin the civil rights movement that would lead to what a difference a day can make? All she did that day was get up and get on a bus. What a difference one day can make. Or how about this? August 3rd, 1492. What a difference a day can make when a guy gets up and he says, we're going to go ahead and fill these boats up and we're going to set sail around the world, even though every map said the earth is flat and every map said here there be dragons. And Christopher Columbus on that August day decided to sail around the world and he discovered some incredible things when he did. What a difference one day can make in your life, just simply getting up and doing something different. What a difference one day made for Jesus Christ in our lives. We call it Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. What a difference a day made when Christ hung on a cross. What a difference a couple of days made when on Sunday morning He rose. What a difference December 21st was, 1982. I was home for college break. And what a difference one day made. That morning I got up like any other morning. And I was home for Christmas break and I had drugs in my car that I'd brought home from college. I was moving in with some guys into a house. What a difference one day made when I went in and met a pastor I'd met a couple of times when I was home for break with my parents who kind of attended the church. What a difference one day would make when he says, Mitch, can you stop by my office? I'd like to talk to you. What a difference December 21st was when I sat in his office and he shared the story of who Jesus Christ was. And it changed my life forever, and here I am. What a difference one day can make in your life. What a difference one day. And we talk about that. Church. What difference does it make whether you go to church or not on Sunday, the Sabbath, or as the Scripture says in the Hebrew, the Shabbat? What difference does it make that you go to church? What is the Sabbath? I know growing up as a kid, I don't know what it was like for you, but for me, it was like the dentist's office. My dad said, get up, get dressed, and here's how it was. And I don't know about you, but it was, put on your Sunday best. And it didn't matter what happened in the car on the way. I had my itchy slacks on, my floppy dress socks that were his that would never stay up on my feet, my clip-on tie, and my hair that Mom would have to lick her hand and flop it over because my colic or my alfalfa sprout was sticking up. I don't know what church was like for you, but we could fight all the way to church, but the minute we walked through those doors, you put on your Sunday best. I don't know about you, some of you are going, hey, that was this morning. Put on your Sunday best, because we can't have people thinking other things about us, because we got to put on our Sunday best, as if, for some reason, going to church on a Sunday wasn't just our Sunday best, but going to church somehow made us our best. And I want you to know, I don't think that's what God intended, to put on your Sunday best. And that's what the Sabbath is all about. What is this Sabbath day? One day can make such a difference in our lives. The Shabbat. The definition of the Shabbat is this. The word Shabbat is the Hebrew word for Sabbath. It means rest. I don't know about you. Most people on Sundays don't feel like rest. And some people define rest as, I'm sleeping in. What does it mean to rest on the Sabbath? Does it mean that you can't go shopping? Guys, you can't go golfing? Or whatever it is that you might to do? Does it mean you can't work in the garden? Does it mean you can't do some of those? Here's the definition of what God gives in that Sunday best. It's in Genesis. If we go back to the beginning in Genesis, open up your Bible and you'll see it right there. Because in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. Most people are familiar with in the beginning. So let's go back to the beginning. Open up your Bibles to Genesis. Like to hear those pages flipping, because that way you know I am not making this up. You're seeing it for yourself. Because people can say whatever they want. They just kind of trust you. And that's a big word. So if you're looking in Genesis chapter 1, you'll see the first verse. It says, "In the beginning God created." At the beginning of what you and I understand, not God's beginning. God does not have a beginning. People often ask me, where did God begin? My daughter is continually asking me two questions. She's 6 years old. Who's God's mommy and daddy? And when was he born? Those are great questions for a six-year-old. And try to explain that, and some of you have tried to do that. But now you go back to in the beginning. God in the beginning, that's for us, our beginning. You see, God didn't have a beginning, and the best way to understand that is just getting a spaceship, I guess, and go as far as you possibly can in the universe or any universes, and tell me when you stop, and I can tell you that's where God begins. And that's eternity. I am finite. I cannot begin to understand infinite. And so God said, in the beginning, God created. He began His creation process. It says right there. And if you see on the first day, it says, everything was formless. And then verse 3 says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And that was, if you read down there, and there was evening and there was morning the first day. Verse 6, and God said, let there be an expanse of waters and separate the waters and gather the waters. And there was evening and there was morning a second day. And on he goes until you get to chapter 2. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all of their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all of His work. And He blessed the seventh day, and He made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. Now listen, the question that people might ask is, does God rest? Did He actually get tired? Did God work for 6 days, human 24 hours, and go, I'm exhausted. I need to take a break. I need a coffee break. God doesn't need coffee breaks. He doesn't do things the way we do. God didn't rest. And does God work on the Sabbath? If somebody prays, does He sit there and go, I can't answer that. It's the Sabbath day. God is at work all the time in our lives. So understanding the rest, we have to go to Exodus chapter 20. Now you've got the beginning, and that's God in creation. Now look at Exodus chapter 20. You're going to turn a few pages. And Moses gets the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. He's on the mountain, and God gives him what we know as the famous Ten Commandments. Right over the Supreme Court building of the United States of America, if you look up in that beautiful monument, you'll see all of these wonderful carvings and etchings. But the greatest of all of them on that monument is in the very center, at the peak, at the pinnacle. There's an incredible sculpture of Moses holding the Ten Commandments. Right there over the Supreme Court of the United States. Okay, we'll move on. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, one of those commandments is found in verse 8. Remember the Shabbat. Remember your rest day. By keeping it holy, 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is a Shabbat, a rest. To the Lord your God, on it, and here he goes, on it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your maidservant, manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the aliens within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, there's a lot of controversy around what this all means. And Isaiah is where we're going to camp. I wanted to go back to the beginning, but in Isaiah 58 is where we're really going to look to understand this. Because people ask the questions, should I not go out to eat today because there are people that are going to have to serve me? Should I not do anything? Should I go home and sleep? Is it okay to watch NASCAR on Sundays? I mean, they pray before they race. Amen. Yeah. What do you do on the Sabbath? What is okay to do on the Sabbath? What should we do and what shouldn't we do on the Sabbath? There's a lot of misunderstanding about this mitzvah, the fourth commandment, the fourth mitzvah of God. He brings out this command and says, this is it. This is the fourth thing. This is important to me. And he gives all of these rules and regulations. So for the sake of it, if you're taking notes, I think this is a note-taking day. If not, it will be on the website. The sermon will be there. And here's what it says. I went back to my Bible study. In my Bible, I have one of these preacher Bibles. And it has all kinds of notes in the backs, not just maps. And here's some different rules and regulations about the Sabbath. For instance, keeping the Sabbath commandment. The Bible says, we just read in Exodus, keep the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Exodus 34 says, 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing season and harvest, you must Shabbat. You must rest on the Sabbath. Exodus 35, do not light a fire in any of your dwellings on the Shabbat, the Sabbath. I'm talking about cooking here. You're not to cook. Some of you are thinking, I think the stove's on right now. I think at our house it is. I'm pretty sure it is. So are we sinning? Aren't we sinning? What does this mean? And on it goes. Nehemiah 10 says this, when the neighboring people bring merchandise or grain to sell on the Sabbath, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or on any other holy day. Every seventh year we'll forego working the land and we'll cancel all debts. Are we not supposed to shop on the Sabbath? Isaiah 56, blessed is the man who does this, the man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps his hands from doing any evil. Isaiah 58, we just read. How about this? Desecrations of it. Ezekiel 16, nevertheless, some people went out on the seventh day to gather manna, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Exodus 31, observe the Sabbath because it's holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. That's pretty harsh. I'm sure the children of Israel were so glad to find a Messiah that things were about to change. But were they supposed to change? Pretty harsh language. Anyone who does work on that day must be cut off from his people. Numbers 15, when the Israelites were in the desert, a man was found gathering wood on the Sabbath. Then the Lord said to Moses, that man must die. He was out cutting wood on the Sabbath. He was working. Nehemiah 13, in those days I saw men in Judea treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in grain and loading it on donkeys together with wine, grape, figs, and all other kinds of things. And they were bringing all this into Jerusalem on the Sabbath. Therefore, I warned them against selling food on that day. Jeremiah 17 says, but if you do not obey me when the Sabbath day comes to keep it holy by not carrying these loads, if you don't do that, I will kindle an unquenchable fire in the gates of Jerusalem that will consume her fortress. And on it goes. I mean, there's all these things. Now, there's all these blessings. I'll cause you to rise on the mount. I will put stuff into your life. I will bless you. You can read stuff that says, some of you are sick because you don't honor the Sabbath. I'm reading this stuff going, have I broken the Sabbath? Sure. According to this, I've broken the Sabbath. Have I eaten out on a Sunday? I sure have. Have we cooked fire on a Sunday? Absolutely, I have. Have I gathered up twigs after a storm on a Sabbath, mowed my lawn on a Sabbath? I probably have. So the question is, what is God saying to us? I certainly don't want to be in fear of, you got to be cut off, put to death. What does God mean by that? Well, there's certain laws and certain regulations and certain rules, but this sounds like a commandment to me. It's in the top 10. And so I want to talk to you about that Sabbath because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding of what God is saying. And I want to talk to you about these just a few things found in Isaiah that I think will help to enlighten us a little bit about what should we and what could we do on the Sabbath. What is this day for? Now, first and foremost, we need to understand that Jesus Christ on the Sabbath went out and He did some great things on the Sabbath. He did things that should not have been done. So the first thing that we need to understand is the Sabbath is a remembrance. The second thing that we're going to understand is the Sabbath is about a relationship. And the third thing that we're going to understand is the Sabbath is about a restoration. Okay? The first thing is it's a remembrance. He said, remember the Sabbath day. Most people stop right there. Right? Most people stop and say, remember the Sabbath day. Well, you need to go to church, Pastor. I don't know about you. If you've ever woke up, I'll just be honest with you. I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for 20 years. People say, I don't know if anybody's ever asked me the question, but I'll go ahead and give the answer. Have you ever felt like not going to church? Yeah. I have. I've woken up on a Sunday morning before and thought, whew, be nice just to, I'm not feeling good or I'm tired or this, and be nice just to sit at home with my family. I don't know if you've ever, maybe you haven't felt that way. Have I done it? No. Because remember the Sabbath. Here's where we forget it. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Most people stop and leave that whole holy thing off. See, the Hebrew word for holy, I love this. The Hebrew word for holy stands out. It's actually three Hebrew words that are combined together, and they're pronounced. Let me see if I can pronounce this right. It's kadosh. I believe that's right. Kadosh. Sounds good. The Hebrew word kadosh means to be set apart, to be separate, to be sanctified. And so, if I'm going to do this in a remembrance, I need to set apart this day as different, as set apart, than all the other days. And how do I do that? Well, I do that in a remembrance. We gather today together to do this in a remembrance. That God, on 6 days created, on the seventh day, He rested. He entered into this kadosh. He entered into this separate thing. He set it apart as holy. The Bible says He made it holy. He wants us to be holy in that as well. And so we do this as a remembrance. Look at what the Scripture says in verse 9 of chapter 58. He says, then you will call and the Lord will answer. What do you mean, then? He says, if you do these things, if you will be set apart, if you do away with the yoke of the oppression, if you with a pointing finger of malicious talk, if you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry, satisfy the needs of the oppressed, light your light will rise. What's he saying? It's okay to do good. Use your life, set it apart, and use the Sabbath day as a different day, remembering all the things that you've done, and this is a day of remembrance. This is a day set apart as kadosh. It's holy. It's different. It ought to be different than other days. It ought to be a day that you remember is different. Now, we live in the United States of America. There was once a time when you could not find a store open on Sunday. There was a time. I remember even as a kid living in California, of all places, out on a coast that was very liberal and very not churchy. And I remember on Sundays, most places, Sunday, that's what it was. It was set apart. It was the Sabbath. But it didn't necessarily make it righteous or holy. Just because you didn't shop, listen, just because you don't light a fire on Sunday does not make this day different. And so that's not what God's talking about when He says a remembrance. He's not talking about that you light your fire. Jesus Himself, He went into the temple and grabbed the bread. He healed sick people on Sunday. They all came to Him and said, what do you think you're doing? He says, what do you mean, what am I doing? I'm healing this guy because this guy needed to be healed. Why are your disciples eating bread? Why did you do that? You're not supposed to be doing this on the Sabbath day. And He said, because the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You see, the Pharisees, the rabbis in the Talmud, they had come up with 39 different regulations of things you could and couldn't do on the Sabbath. I mean, they had so many rules and regulations, you couldn't do anything. And they found themselves so tight, they had taken the law of God and they turned it into the letter of the law instead of the spirit of the law. You see, God didn't say, this is what you're to do, stand here and stand straight and don't move. In fact, rest and sleep the whole day so you don't sin. And so when you're done today with church, the best thing to do so you don't mess up is go home and go to bed. But then God would probably come at you for being a sluggard. Why didn't you go do something good with your life? That's not what this day is. This day is a remembrance. Let me say it another way. This day is a gift that God has given to you. That's the way the Sabbath is. He said, I'm going to give you something that you can enter into. That's a gift. It's a rest. It's not to be a burden. The poor Pharisees, they entered into that thing with just all of these rules and regulations. Do you know how many people just hate the thought of going to church on Sundays? Because it's the letter of the law. It's Sunday. We're going to church. Can I give you a different perspective? And God just opened up. I think this is just an incredibly deep perspective. And let me just take it and make it as simple as possible. I was talking to my mom the other day, and I said, and I almost said the thing that most of us say about Sunday. We were talking, and I'm just so blessed. And it's okay. I told my mom, I got my cell phone here. I said, Mom, I'm going to call you in case I forget and just have you tell the car. She goes, don't you, if you call me on Sunday morning, I'm not answering the phone. She goes, besides, I'll be on my way to church during your service. Because, I mean, it's just a different time zone, and she's praying every day for you as a congregation. And I'm talking to her, and I said, but Mom, this is so good. I said, I can't believe to hear the conversation that you and Dad go to church. It just blesses me. And she said, yeah. I said, but it's not that that Dad goes to church. I talked to him the other day, and he says, yeah, went to church Thursday night. I said, you went to church on a weeknight? I couldn't get him to go to church on a weekend. I used to honestly, the truth of the matter is, I used to, and that's why I said, I'll call my mom if you need this as a gospel truth. I used to threaten my parents that they'd never see their grandkids if they didn't go to church. And my mom has hung up on me. Now, you say that's terrible, but listen, what I understand about heaven and hell is even more terrible than my parents not going. The idea that says, I want them saved, and I've done everything in argument to get them saved, to the point I've threatened them with their own grandkids, because I want my mom and dad in heaven, and I've done everything I can. And when my mom the other day, I told her, I said, I can't believe, Dad told me, he goes, yeah, I went to church Thursday. And I said, what were you doing in church on a Thursday night? He said, we had one of those big game dinners. So out 12 miles out in a cornfield outside of Ipswich, South Dakota, where this church is, I said, what'd you do? He says, well, we had 300 men. Yeah, I said, are there that many in South Dakota? He said, they came from everywhere. I said, he was telling me about the dinner. And then he said, and it would have been easy just to keep the conversation, you know what I'm talking about, at the light level. Oh, yeah, we had this. And he's telling me about all the game, I mean, just unique game that they ate. And then he said, we had this speaker. This guy was a quarterback at the University of Nebraska and then went on to play pro at Green Bay in the 60s. And he's only been a Christian for 9 years, and he shared his testimony. Can you believe that, son? 9 years he's been a Christian, and he's sharing his testimony. I said, yeah, Dad, that's pretty good. He goes, yeah, it was really good. I really enjoyed it. We're really enjoying the church down there. And I'm telling this to my mom, and I got caught up. I said, I'm preaching about the Sabbath this Sunday, Mom. But it's not so much that you and Dad are just going to church, because a lot of people just go to church. I said, it's not that that's what makes you holy, but that you're a holy person 6 days a week that makes you enter into a holy day. And that's why this becomes a gift to some people, and it's not a gift to other people. It's a curse. To some, it's a blessing. I can't wait. Oh, to worship God, to come together with believers. I can't wait. To other people, it's like, oh, here we go again. It's Sunday morning, and I could be doing 100 other things. And my mom says, son, that's nothing. What you're talking about is happening here. I said, what do you mean? He said, your father gets up every morning and the first thing he does is go out to the farmhouse kitchen and where the big window is, looking out on the farm, and reads the Word of God and spends time with his Savior. And I'm going, you got to be kidding. I said, I'm going to start crying. I said, my dad is in the Word of God. More than that, he's in a relationship with God. And because of that, you see, that's what Jesus was saying. It's a remembrance. If you're wondering about the law, listen, the law is there. And if you want to follow the law, good luck. I pray you raise a lot of sheep. Because if you want to follow the law, that's what it was meant for. And those who couldn't follow it had sheep. And then Jesus Christ comes along. He says, and I've done away with this part of the law that you don't have. I know you can't follow it. And so I'm going to bring grace into your life so now that you can desire it. And so God comes in and he says, watch. Jesus says, man was not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for man. And here's where I was talking to my mom. I said, man was made for the Sabbath. No, he wasn't made for the Sabbath. Oh, he wasn't made for the Sabbath. He wasn't made to go. You can't make him go. You can't make... You know how many times people say, I'm just going to make him go because it's the right thing. Listen, you can do that. But there's a certain age of accountability where the only thing you're getting is the letter of the law. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8, it says, and I love these words, it says, the spirit of the law gives life, but the letter of the law kills. And I see so many people, I don't know if you've seen them, you hear so many people who would just raise, you have to do this, you have to do this, this is what it says, you have to do this. Now listen, not because something's good for you, do you not? I mean, if my kids need to go to the doctor, they're going to the doctor. So don't misunderstand this, okay? If they say, I'm ready to die here with my pneumonia and I need a shot, but I'm not going to the doctor, listen, I'm taking them to the doctor. But listen, it's a responsibility for myself personally. When I got to go to the doctor, I'm going to the doctor. But what we do sometimes is this. We start trying to force this religion into them in the letter of law. If you go, as if somehow that's going to make someone holy. Now listen, there's certainly nothing wrong with being in church. And I encourage people to invite people into church. But we said it. It's not about this that makes us holy. A man cannot be holy one day a week and enter into this, or enter into this and say, because I've entered into this, I'm a holy man. No, because of 6 days a week of work, because I've worked what God has called me to do, I've loved my neighbor, I've loved my God, I've done what I'm supposed to do, I've fed the hungry, I'm taking care of all these things that the Scripture says in verses 6 on there, I'm doing those things. And so when I come here in church on Sunday morning, are you ready for this? I want to tell you, when little Ian got healed, it's because people were praying and doing things during the week. When people need jobs, people are finding jobs because through the week they were doing that. When people needed food, we got a semi-truck out here and we're getting them food. And when we come in on a Sunday morning, we can rejoice. And I'm going to tell you, next Sunday morning, you're going to shout. You ought to shout, because I want to shout, but I can't say it yet. But we've been praying for something specifically, and I believe God says, you do that and these things are going to happen. It says, you will shine. I'll cause you to ride on the heights. I'm going to do this in your life if you will just remember to be this. But it's not remember, oh, it's Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, got to get there. Okay, I'm in church. That's not what you're supposed to remember. You're supposed to remember that on 6 days of the week, I am serving my God in relationship. And so Sunday is just a wonderful gift that I get to enter into. Now, does that make sense? It's a remembrance. And it's not just a remembrance. I've completely lost my place. It's a relationship. Let me look at this verse, verse 13. It's a relationship. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath, from doing as you please, if you call my day, Sabbath, a delight, and a Lord's day honorable, and if you honor by not going your way, not doing as you please, you see that? Here's why. This is going to be beautiful. The Scripture says that Jesus' name is Yeshua HaMashiach. I know, say that twice. It's Yeshua HaMashiach. And it's translated, the restorer of my salvation. I come into this day of rest. I'm in a relationship with this. And I come into this place, and the Bible says, don't do as you please. And I got to thinking about it, I thought, Lord, how does that translate? And the more I read in ancient writings and Hebrew writers and from prophets, I'm reading these things, and here's what they said. Every one of them kind of had the same theme. They said, it's like a marriage. And I'm, in fact, I'm reading these things, and I said, it's almost exactly like a marriage. In fact, I printed one out. Here it is. This is the Sabbath. From ForeverSabbath.com. The Hebrew word for holy is spelled out Kof Delif Shin, often pronounced Kadosh, which is said about what that word means. One sweeping implication of the word holy is set apart. What is holy is set apart from all other things which tend to profane some way or detract us from God. And so we set apart this day. Now watch, in the marriage relationship, one writer was talking about the Shekinah glory that comes down and fills the tabernacle. It's the only place that we find anything in the God, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, where it's a feminine gender. God's Shekinah glory is a feminine gender. That is the bride of Christ. That's us. He brings in this thing. And the relationship is between the groom and the bride. Now watch this. The couple, he's talking about marriage. He says, our Shabbat, our Sabbath, ought to be like we are in a marriage, and God often uses that. In proper romance, they will enjoy all of their time together, whether they're driving down the highway, strolling through a mall, dining, or other activities. Their joy is in the time spent together. Those are the things that fill the photo albums, the memories. Remember? Remember? It's a remembrance. Now it's a relationship. Now watch this. I spend a lot of time with my wife doing a lot of things, driving down the road, working, catching lunches here, calling her on the phone. You probably do that. Those of you that are married understand this. But my wife needs a time of kadosh. And the Scripture uses that with the Shekinah of God in us. My wife needs a time set apart. I need a time with her set apart. If all of my time with my wife was simply around all of the activities and the things and the people in my life, we would never have a time to enter into of rest. Now watch what rest is. It changes. And all of them talked about the same things. There's a need to set apart from those wonderful activities. Moments of quiet ecstasy. Usually the wife has to bring her husband to the understanding of this need. She wants from him those special moments when he is doing absolutely nothing but focusing all of his mind and heart on her. Is this making sense? Welcome to entering into that rest. And God uses our marriages as a result of that. And he says, it's the most sacred and holy time of their years together. She wants from him those moments when they can ascend to the most holy, blessed realization of intimacy in their union. God requires the same thing of us. He wants us to set apart. Now, I learned this a long time ago. I learned it. I'm learning this now, but I discovered it a long time ago. To say that I have learned it is to say I've arrived. I have not arrived. I have not arrived in my relationship to set apart God in that pinnacle. I have not done that completely with my wife. That's the journey that we have as Christians. To say that we all do this is to open up the altar and we can all start confessing our sin of deceit. My wife, when we first were dating, she came to me at one point because I am a sports junkie. I was playing basketball, and we were involved in something. I don't even remember. She says her story is a little different than mine. This is how I remember it. And since I'm preaching, you'll have to come and find out the truth on Tuesdays when she's preaching. Basketball was certainly involved, whether I was watching a game or playing a game. But I remember she came to me and she said, we are supposed to be together tonight on a date. And you chose to be playing basketball. You told me you couldn't be with me on a date because you had to study. Oh, yeah. Now, that we agree on. And I stood in the performing arts, the performance center at our college, at our university. And I stood there as she had her car running outside saying, you make a choice. It's me or it's sports. The game wasn't over. I mean, that was a moment. Now, that may not sound like a big moment to you, but most things that we do with God aren't big moments. God says, I just want 5 minutes of your time. Would you just take the morning and enjoy the sunrise, open up the Word, and let me speak to your heart? And we say, well, God, in this moment, the weather's not done being reported. And I got to know before I go to work. Do you understand the relationship? The relationship is this intimate time that I have with my wife. I've learned this over and over. If I'm sitting with my wife and she just wants to cuddle and she just wants to have that intimate time with me, and I've got the remote in the other hand because the Wings are in the playoffs. Now, I could say I am with my wife, and I am, and I can hear everything she says as I'm watching the game. I can do those kind of things. Listen, we can all do those things. And when we say we enter into the Sabbath day, I can be with God today and I can set today apart. But is He truly getting your attention? Is He truly getting this day as special? Does He really feel like you mean it to Him that today is special? Not that you don't go out and have lunch and take a family, meet someone, take them home with you. Plan it next Sunday. Make an extra meal. Burn a fire in your stove. Because at that time, that's what the Lord had. But the letter of the law is not the same as the spirit of the law. And the spirit of the law says, do good to others on the Sabbath. Make it a special set apart time. And I can honor God in all of these ways and not do as I please. But today is as you please. You see, my wife will say, honey, can we get popcorn in a movie? It's thunderstorming out tonight. And thunderstorms for us is the key. Because we love thunderstorms. And we'll go sit out in the car, we'll go for a drive, we'll sit on the porch and watch it. Popcorn. Well, let's get a movie tonight. Let's have some popcorn. Okay. Would you go rent a movie? And guys, here's our dilemma. I'm in Blockbuster. I'm looking for a movie that my wife and I will enjoy. And of course, that warrior movie is perfect. She will love it. Or that football movie. Rudy. What a great show. She'll be inspired. And I sit with her. Did I really do? Was I really thinking of honoring her in that moment? Or was I honoring myself? Just saying, but we're together. And I believe that's what the Lord says in our relationship. Do I have all the answers to this? Is what I've read about the Sabbath, there is so much thought. And I'm sure you have thought on the Sabbath. I'm not going to put on you any burden that God wouldn't put on you. But I know this. There is a day set aside that God wants to have that says, I'm not going to do as I please, but I'm going to set aside for Him. And that is going to be my Shabbat. That is going to be my place where God will speak to me. It is a remembrance of His creation. It's a remembrance of His deliverance in my life. And that's what the Hebrews had. Two things. The creation of God, Genesis, and the deliverance of Exodus out of slavery and bondage. And folks, I remember a day, December 21st, 1982, and God showed me a new creation, and God showed me a deliverance in my life. And why not Shabbat? Why not enter into that? Because God has made it holy. And the last thing is this. It's also a restoration. The Bible says, I will cause you to rise on, I'll cause you to rise up on these things. In Isaiah 58, it says, you will find your joy, and I will cause you to rise on the heights of the land. And I close with this. I believe that God wants us to enter into a rest. Last night I slept. I don't know how you guys slept. I hope you slept well. By seeing some of you in the yawns and maybe the nods, maybe you didn't sleep as well as I did. I slept well last night. In fact, I woke up about 3:30 in the morning and couldn't get back to sleep till 5 this morning. Got back up at 6:30 to get ready to come over to church. And from 3:30 to about 5, I just laid there. And I thought, well, Lord, are you waking me up? Do you want to talk? Okay, let's talk. If you want to interrupt my sleep, that's fine. You have permission to interrupt anything in my life. And so we had a conversation, but I was thinking about the message today and just entering into that rest. And when I woke up, I had this little puddle of water on my pillow. And when I woke up, I could actually hear myself coming out of the sleep. And I don't know about you with your breathing. I mean, when you're in a deep sleep and you breathe deeply, can I just take a moment to say that the Bible says that the Ruach, the Spirit of God in Genesis 3, when God breathed into that form of man, He breathed into us the breath, the Ruach, the Spirit of God was into us and breath and life came in. And I'm going to just step out here a little bit to say, I believe that when God wants us to rest, when we sleep, our bodies and our minds, I mean, we go into this deep breathing, we rest and we restore. There's a restoration. I believe there's a restoration on Sundays, in the Sabbath, in the Shabbat. I don't know about you, but when I come here, I'm just so encouraged. I love to worship, whether you're here or not, when we're singing, when we're reading the Word, when we're giving and everything and preparing. My day today will be a day I'll enter into rest and say this day, and I'll think about the Lord all day long, and everything I want to do is to honor Him for everything that's happened all week long. Now, do I honor that by doing all those rules and regulations? No, I do because of the Spirit of Christ that's in me. And I believe that God wants us to enter into that deep rest. Enter into that. I even think about the word Yahweh. And I studied a gentleman, and here's what his thought, and I'll say that, here's what his thought on the very word Yahweh is. If you look in the Hebrew, it says, you can actually pronounce it Yah-ha-ve-heh, because of the way the vowels are in Hebrew. And it's almost like four different words, but we pronounce it Yahweh. And it's God's name, it's who He is. Do you know that when you breathe, it's almost like Yah, Veh. The very breath of God that He breathed into man is the very thing that we do every day. And almost speaking His name. And how can the very breath that's within us, that He gave us, not speak the very one who created us? What a rest to take in deeply. Yahweh. Now that's what one gentleman shared, and I thought, that's an interesting perspective. But I'll say this, the Word tells us that if you will enter into that rest, I will cause you to have joy and restoration into your life. And so to close, I'd like to invite my family up here. And I want to give you something that maybe you can do. This is brand new to me. Where's my family here? Oh, he's going, I don't know this. Come on up. Many people don't even know who my family is, so. And so if you haven't met them, this is half. Sort of. Go ahead and have a seat anywhere there. Yeah. Abigail, I have a 6-year-old. She's in the children's thing. And I have a 19-year-old, Andrew, and he lives on his own. And this is Robbie and Spencer and Jackie and my wife, Susan, in case you haven't met them. Today, what I want to do is, it was a common practice, actually, among Orthodox Jews to use the Shabbat to bless their families. And so today, I want to share that blessing with you guys, not just for our family, but just to show them and to show you. And I'll put this online so you can get this if you're interested. But I thought, what a powerful, powerful way to use that rest. The scripture says, here's what they would do. There were 4 blessings on the Shabbat. And the first one would be this. The father would bless the children by placing his hands on them and embracing them and reciting these words. I love you guys. And he would say this because, we want to bless our kids. We want them to enter into that blessing. And so the scripture would say, for a son, they would say, may God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh, the 2 sons of Joseph. And for the daughter, he would say, may God make you as Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, or Leah, the 4 matriarchs of the Bible. And then the prayer is, the Eternal One bless you and protect you. The Eternal One shine His presence upon you and be gracious to you. The Eternal One lift up God's presence to you and grant you all peace. And then the husband would honor his wife by reading from Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, which begins, what a capable wife. Who can find one such as her? And then it goes on. She's worth far more than rubies or emeralds. She works and toils till the candle burns. And reading through Proverbs 31 and blessing the wife just to say how much that he appreciates it. He has found something greater than any jewel or any workday paycheck could ever find or anything this world could satisfy. How precious is his wife. And then he would bless her. The Lord make his grace to shine upon her. And may the righteous one shine his face on her. And that's the first blessing. And then as the custom would be around the meal, they would take the wine or the grape juice, the grape from the vine, and they would hold that up and share that together because together they would share the symbol of the grape, of the vine, which of course Jesus Christ and the symbol of His blood eventually. And the next blessing was, they would say this, it is evening and it was morning and on the 6 days the heavens and the earth and all that were there were completed. For by the 7th day God completed the work which He had made and God rested on the 7th day from all that He had done. And then He blessed the day and He hallowed it because on it God rested from the work which He had made. And He would say this, blessed are You, Eternal God, ruling presence of the universe, Creator of the fruit of the vine. Blessed are You, O God, ruling presence of the universe, who has sanctified us with Your commands and find favor in us, giving us this holy Sabbath as a heritage in love and faith, in remembrance of creation, that day being also the first among the holy occasions, and then the Exodus from Egypt. For You have chosen us and hallowed us above all, giving us Your holy Sabbath as a heritage in love and in favor. Blessed are You, the One who sanctifies us in Your Sabbath. And they would share the drink together, understanding that God is the One who blesses. And then they would take a cup for the ritual of the hand washing. And the hand washing, they would pour it over their right hand. And they would say, blessed are You, O Eternal God, ruling presence of the universe, who sanctifies us through the mitzvah and gives us this mitzvah of the washing of the hands, the commandment to wash our hands, to say that we have to enter in with clean hands, that our family which a God purifies from our sins and wash us, our right hand, just dip in it, and to wash us and clean up, cleanse us. And then they would take the bread, and they would break the bread, and they would hold it up, and they would take the matzah, the blessing over the bread, and say, "Blessed are you, eternal one, O God, ruling presence of the universe, who brings forth the bread from the ground." And then they'd break it and they'd share it together. And when they would do that, as they would share that bread together, they would understand a whole lot more in our day that God is the one who broke His own life so that we could enter into a rest, that you can be blessed in your life. And so we would share together the bread that says Christ has given us a rest through His grace. And together we share that as a family, knowing that we as a family have been blessed by God. And then when that's all done, each person breaking off a piece of bread, they would actually salt it and then eat every bite. Then everybody would shout, "Shabbat Shalom." And so let's do that together. Shabbat Shalom, which means the peace of God in your rest. The peace of God in your rest. Let me pray with you. Should we stand together?